Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Flats and Shanks podcast. Tommy, what a couple of bloody days I've had. How are you, boy?
What's going on? What's going on?
Well, no, it's fine. It's fine, Tommy.
Tell me.
Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah.
So, I'm on holiday in inverted commas. I put it in inverted commas because we're down in Devon, as you know, and it is... Everyone's having a great time, but it is not relaxing. With a newborn, a toddler, an 11-year-old, a 13-year-old... obviously my wife's here as well. A dog.
She's the hardest worker of all of them.
I know we don't. Yeah. I know we don't try to swear on this pod because lots of kids listen to it, but it is frigging hard work, and you're not allowed to complain about it, except I do. And do you know? I'll sum it up for you. You've been to our house down here. It's not posh, but it's, you know, it's nice on the inside, basically, like me. And it's got three bedrooms. Now, that is fine until you've got four kids and your toddler needs her own room. The baby's in with us because she's brand new. And the two big girls share a big bed. They like sharing anyway. They sleep in the same bed, you know, 9 nights out of 10 anyway. They just like it. So they're mates. So, but... the house is basically made of cardboard, and when the toddler wakes up, which she's waking up earlier here, she started waking up way earlier
Have you never listened to Three Little Pigs? You can't build a house out of cardboard, mate. Big Bad Wolf will come blow it down. It's got to be stone and brick.
Mate, I know holiday home sounds very posh, and it is very lucky to have it, but it is an ex-council house, and I don't think the various councils around the South Hams built them like the Georgians did. And it's like, yeah, so when she's awake, everyone's awake. So I'm leaping, in inverted commas, out of bed every morning when she wakes up. So I'm not getting up at 5 because we can't start letting her get up at 5. Mm. 6:30, I'm up. And when you've had a couple of rosés and you're partying a bit, and not too much, it's just a bit like, oh, mate. So I've got to leap up to try and keep her quiet, to keep the big girls asleep, because they adore their little sister, but not when she costs them sleep. So you got all this stuff going. I come downstairs, and this morning, it's about 6:30, and I've made porridge for the toddler. She's in her special little seat. She's got a stick-on bowl, and she is flinging porridge out onto the table and at the dog to feed the dog, and throwing it at me, thinking it's hilarious. But I don't realise she's doing it until some of it hits me on the arm and on the back. And I say, no, don't do that, because the reason I can't say I'm doing it is because I'm on my knees wiping up canine diarrhea and piss from the floor, which has stained the floor, by the way. That is stained. And not only am I wiping it all up and getting it everywhere because it is liquid, it's pure brown liquid, but I am trying out, I think I went through 7 pencils and little pens to try and find one thin enough that I could wrap with a baby wipe and rub in between, run in between the floorboards to get the liquid shit that went in between the floorboards. And she's throwing porridge at me. And
would you rather
I was like, what?
Would you rather have a crow up your chimney?
Not on holiday.
I'm going to crow up your chimney before. To try and get it out.
Two of the bastards. Yes. There's still, I still look at, they read that to repaint it, you know. I had to get it repainted, that fireplace. We must have done the crow up the chimney story on here before.
Yeah, we have. It sounds to me, mate, that you need to get yourself in a barrel, close the lid of the barrel, and just float yourself off Niagara Falls. See how it goes.
I looked at my wife, you know when we said
like at the start, I got my retainers in, mate, because it's late, it's Monday, it's late, I can't be bothered to take them out. I locked my door at about 7 p.m.
That's fine, mate.
And
yeah, you're fine, mate.
And I forgot where I was going now. We had a five second chat before we start recording, and I said, go on, you start us off, and he went like this. And I knew that breath. And I'm tired, mate. I'm tired. I had a shit sleep last night.
You've had a gutsful. What's going on with you?
A long day today. And you're just picking me up. I love this. I'm going to stay up now. I'm probably going to stay up till 12 tonight on adrenaline. Endorphins kicked in from you. So thank you.
But do you know who I'm starting to envy now? I'm starting to envy those people who I don't believe anyway, but not like Mark Wahlberg, who's like working out at 3 a.m. or something. I'm not a weirdo. But
Ben
Earl
celebrating? Because you want a bit of that?
Those people... Eh?
Envy Ben Earl celebrating?
I'm not as upbeat as that. I don't know. That's too much for me. Ben Earl, very nice man. But the celebrations on the knees. It's funny because someone on Twitter today, I don't go on Twitter all that much anymore, but someone on Twitter said, all the stuff you could be moaning about, you're moaning about an England player celebrating the small wins and trying to generate some psychological momentum.
Genuine.
And I was like, no, I see what you mean, but I'm sorry, it's a bit much for me.
No.
Yeah.
The way you are at the moment, if you're on a rugby field and someone throws a line out not straight, you're celebrating that because you're in a hole at the moment. This is the last you've been at the beach all day. You've cleaned up liquid shit, cleaned up porridge. You've been at the beach all day. You're knackered. It's 9 o'clock and you've had to probably sneak downstairs. Wi-Fi issues to start with. So I can imagine you're sweating and to reboot your computer. Yeah. And now you've got to be funny. Yeah.
But do you know what else?
What?
I was at the beach and I texted Freya and said, oh, can you do me a favour and put my headphones on charge? Because you reminded me, charge your headphones for the pod. I said, yeah. I get home and they're plugged in. And the kids are like, ugh, Wi-Fi's terrible here. Literally had full fibre put in yesterday. Wi-Fi's rubbish here. They've been home 3 minutes. It's rubbish. It's not. It's amazing. It's the best you can get, mate. It's full fibre. Anyway, it's all off. I'm like, oh my God, all the sockets are off. So I'm in the fuse box, found the fuse, flicked it up. Oh my God, they've come back on. The microwave's back on. Right, I've saved everyone's lives. We can do the pod. But the headphones weren't charging.
Oh no.
So, I mean, how long have I got? What have I got on them? I'll tell you. I've got 24%. Who cares?
We'll just go until they switch
off. Tommy, my point is this. We do these long summers in Devon, and I think it's the most tired I ever am, and it's meant to be a holiday. And I'm a whinging bastard, but we are thinking about doing a bit less in Devon next summer and actually going abroad to an all-inclusive somewhere.
I'll go on Wednesday, mate.
If we can.
I'm heading off Wednesday.
Where are you going?
All inclusive. Ibiza. And only Rhys Blumberg has booked the same holiday as me. Unbeknown to myself.
Oh my God.
So I've got a partner in crime out there. I'm just going to take photos of his moles on his leg. He's got 3 moles together. It's like the Predator laser, but brown and hairy. I have to, before I forget, I have to tell
if
you
he's
this.
Got...
I was in a box watching a game at the weekend, Indigo Box. Thank you, Matthew Bennett.
And cheers,
Dan,
buddy.
Dan Fish was in there. You know Dan Fish? Number 10, 15.
Oh, my hero, mate. I love him.
Yeah. Now, when you see...
Of course I know who he is, mate.
When it comes to sort of January, right at the start of February, you get all the messages about the Six Nations is back and all the boys in stonewashed jeans and brown shoes. Oh, my days. That is what he had on.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
That is what he had on. His shoes, his brown shoes...
Oh, brilliant.
...weren't... They looked like leather, but when I touched them, they didn't move. I said, what are that? They're like made out of carbon fiber or something, right? The heel on them was absolutely huge. I just said, how can you put them on your feet? How's that comfy, mate? It's like carbon fiber boots. I said, you nick those jeans off Rob Howley as well. I said, well, I was going, where do you go shopping, mate? Yellowstone. Just hammering him.
Little spurs on the back.
Honestly, I'm going to send you a photo of them after. They were just perfect. They were perfect.
I mean, I won't have a word said against him, but I like it. I'm looking forward to seeing that picture.
Yeah, no, he's a good bloke. He's a good bloke.
Right, going all inclusive. Well done, fella.
Yeah, all inclusive.
What I was going to say was, if Blum's got anything, if he's got anything about him, he'll shave those moles before takeoff.
He's very, very good.
He knows
good.
You. He'll, yeah. Every mouthful of food he eats, you will photograph.
You watch him on any photo that he goes away with the lads. He's always at the back, and all he sees is his head peering over someone's shoulder. He's never at the front. He's never got the rig
silly,
out.
Mate.
He's
not
never
silly,
got the rig
mate.
Out until it is going to be all over my Insta next week. Rigsy.
Yep.
Eating, bending over, picking up his little boy.
Riggedy Reese Blumberg.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rigor mortis.
Mm. But anyway, I'm booking the little one in kids club.
Yeah, good.
Most days. Probably going to read a book.
Oh, yeah. Oh, brilliant. I'm going to
eat.
7 a.m. till midnight.
I'm going to eat like a king. Bit of fruit in the morning.
Well done, mate.
For the bowels.
I'm not asking. Is that my uncle? I'm not asking for numbers because that's crude, but I always imagine a nice all inclusive. In August is punchy.
No, you're right.
Is it?
That's not too bad. It's a TUI holiday. It's like, but
they're
all
good
in
at, they're
flights,
good
accommodation a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
I tell you, Tirada Beach it's called. That's all I can remember. But they've got loads of stuff for the kids.
Because I got.
That's it.
Got chatting to a guy a couple of days ago on the beach who I know through a friend. He's quite posh, but real nice guy. And he's like, yeah, I told him this. He goes, yeah, we go to, I forget what it's called now, Pelago or Pellegrano or something. And honestly, really reasonable, really reasonable. 30 grand a week. I put it in. He's got four kids. 30 grand a week.
No way, boy.
Is what it costs. They always go for a couple of weeks in July and August.
It's like a Mark Warner. Mark Warner's
60 bags.
Ones. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Mm. What's going on, Tom? What the hell is going on? Anyway, we're doing this pod tonight. It's Monday night where we are, guys, and this is what I would be doing now, where I'm not on this pod, is I'll be sitting in exactly the same place, but I'd be watching Painkiller on Netflix.
Yeah, saw the first episode of that, but then I googled it, and apparently it's not as accurate as it's being portrayed. Okay.
Well, there's a few. They've paprika'd it here and there because I've read the book Empire of Pain by Patrick Radden Keefe, which is about the Sacklers and all this stuff, and it is amazing. Everyone should read it. And
I need a book,
but
for
now I'm halfway through it. It's really good. It's an amazing book. I don't know if it's a holiday read. It's quite serious. It's quite heavy. But the people are saying that Dope Sick is better than Painkiller. That's what a lot of the reviews are saying. It's not as good as Dope Sick, and I think we started Dope Sick and never quite got into it, so maybe, I don't know.
Have you done The Last Drop? No, Dropout yet? The Dropout, have you done that yet? Elizabeth Holmes one?
What's that?
On Disney.
No, I've listened to the podcast.
Yeah, you've got to watch the series, it's really good.
Is it good?
Yeah, very good.
Okay.
Very good.
Okay.
Thoroughly enjoyed it. Six or eight episodes, I can't remember how many, but it's on Disney. And I enjoyed the podcast as well. I think you probably put me onto it, but the series was just as good. And you know what happens as well. So it's still enjoyable, even though you know the outcome, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if the acting is the script and the acting and all that's good enough, then it works.
Although, I wasn't too fussed on Stephen Fry. He was in it. Don't know. And I love Stephen Fry. I think he's amazing. Mm. But just didn't really suit the part, I think. If I'm being really picky. If I'm being David Flatman.
Yes, quite. Do you think it's a case of we want Stephen Fry in this, let's get him in it somehow?
Maybe.
Is it like, we just want to get our best players on the field, so we're going to play a couple of people out of position?
Yeah, like me on the wing. You at tight head.
Quite. I wasn't going to say anything. I was going to say Lee Halfpenny on the wing, and I was going to say jokes. I meant Tom Shanklin, but I didn't say it.
Just for the pace.
Now, you were fine on the wing until you played Rokotoko, but a lot of people have been in that position.
Yeah, Brian O'Banner.
Everyone was fine until they played him.
Doug Howlett. Yeah. Rico Gear.
They went all right in the end.
Joe Roth.
Did you play against all those guys on the wing?
Yeah. Oh, it was a nightmare.
How'd you go? Did you skin any of them?
Didn't win a game, put it that way.
Yeah, but that's not just you, fella. That's not just you, boy, is it?
Oh, don't. This was upbeat. It was meant to be upbeat. Have you watched any athletics before we continue?
No, really I haven't. I'm not at home. I'm basically not at home on these holidays till night time. But holidays, inverted commas. But I really love athletics and I love watching it.
Karina Johnson-Thompson, mate.
I haven't watched any, so.
Second World Championship gold.
World champ.
She's brilliant. Last race, the 800, she had to finish within 3 seconds of the American Hall. And God, I had to dig deep. It was a really good race. Really good. Really enjoyed that. The mixed 4x400 meter relay. Did you see the Dutch woman fall on her face? Right before the line.
No, but I've read about this controversy. I've read the two of them, though, weren't there?
Yeah, I've only seen one.
So another Dutch athlete fell by the line just before the line as well.
What are you thinking?
What I'm not saying is race fixing. That's what I'm not saying.
Baton fixing.
My mate Darren reckons it's race fixing.
Don't know.
Did you watch the Lionesses?
Yeah, I saw bits of it actually. You?
Yeah, we had a party. We had a party at Danny's house.
Can imagine
it wasn't
you
much
with
of a party. It was.
Imagine with the English shirt on, with Bright on the back.
It wasn't much of a party. It was 11 in the morning, but we had loads of sausages and bacon, and then we were just absolutely stuffed by the end of it, just eating ourselves to a standstill. So there was me, Danny, Grucock, Stuart Hooper was there, and all our families, and our mate Tomo, you know Tomo.
Yeah, of course.
Was there, and all the kids are running around going H. It was brilliant, and we watched the Lionesses. Kids love it, and didn't manage to win, but they were the better side and all that. It was a good watch, but yeah, really good. But we were so full. It was like, oh my God, I'm not going to have any lunch now. Dan's like, right, so I've done the first carb on the chicken shawarma on the Jotisserie. And he's been doing a 6 kilo chicken kebab outside. We're like, right, let's do it. And then straight from there, we went to the beach to meet Ollie Cohn, former Quinns guy, and some other mates. James Grindle, the old scrum half.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
an old mate of mine as well. He's down here.
Did you ever get him a touch?
We all met up. And certainly not, no, the kids did. And Paulie and I went over to meet Kona, and it was like, Kona's like, he's got a gas canister, like for a barbecue, and a full stand. And we're across the water, mind. He's taken this all on a boat, and he's done a massive barbecue on the floor over some rocks and cooked loads of food. And he's got a massive paella going on a raised platform with a full camping table with tablecloth on it and cutlery. It's unbelievable.
Oh, wow. You need someone like that in your life, don't you? Someone just willing to do it,
mate, yeah.
To do all the prep. I tell you what I liked about Lioness's game. It was quite a good game. But when the England keeper saved the ball, you could just mouth read her. Just go, F off. It was brilliant. I was just,
go on. And I was like, It is, as some people have said on Instagram, it's the best fuck off ever. It's a great one.
Was the aggression as well?
So aggressive. But I'm thinking, I mean, it was great that, but she's amazing. She was amazing. But
she won the golden hand.
I have a problem. A golden hand.
She did.
I know it's the golden glove, but I like it. I like you calling it the golden hand.
Oh, I just saw her with a golden hand. The Midas touch.
Like C-3PO.
I got tears. That's how tired I am.
But unfortunately, well, Keanu, World Cup final or not, I've got a problem with goalkeepers. I think we might have spoken about this before.
And Sam Allardyce.
Aaron Ramsdale. He's the Arsenal one, isn't he, Aaron Ramsdale?
Yeah.
Best bloke ever. Met him a couple of times at dinners. Oh my God, he's such a good bloke. I've never met another goalkeeper, but I think they might all be knobs. Because that outburst is fine, but goalkeepers don't realise they're supposed to make saves and sometimes gather up the ball. Whenever someone gets a shot away and they save it, catch it, knock it by, just stop it, they abuse their teammates.
Hey, 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 come on, yeah? Hey, fucking this and fuck. It's like, no.
Sometimes professional footballers get shots away. Sometimes strikers get shots away, amateur or professional. You must be expected to... It's almost like if I've got a... Hang on a minute. I'm a prop. Why should I have to scrummage because you've knocked the ball on?
Hey! Hey! You! You're like, shanks! You know.
Why do they berate their teammates when the opposition just get a shot away and they save it? It's your job, mate.
I love listening to Roy Keane on goalies. But you're right. It's like they weren't good enough to play football, so they had to put it go in goal, like defenders. You know, they're not good enough to take shots or score goals, so they've got to be a defender. It's like boys who play on the wing. They're only on the wing because they can't really catch and pass properly.
Just rapid, yeah.
Yeah, just rapid. Yeah, you can still be quick in the centre, but you've got to be able to catch and pass. Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
That's it. But you're an international wing as well, mate. So.
Yeah, but only for the greater good. When I had to, when time came.
Yeah.
I was called upon for my country.
It was queen and country for you, wasn't it?
Have you seen the Welsh squad announced what they did? It's very good.
Got the co-captain thing.
Yeah, but they got loads of people to announce the team members. It's quite cool.
Oh, I haven't seen it, no. What do they do?
They've just got sort of community people telling everyone who's in the squad. So they say their name and they put it all together in a video.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's cool. It's really good.
That's cool. I like that stuff.
It's probably a greater meaning to it, mate, that, you know, this where the guys are from. It's the area that they're brought up in or the area that they're born.
Yeah.
I've not read into it too much. I just saw it and I thought, oh, I quite like that. It's quite cool. Although I do think the best dress so far
is
the Australians with their hats. And that Eddie Jones interview is absolutely amazing. And honestly,
it's so good.
It was a good interview anyway. It was a brilliant interview. And he's just hammering the press, saying, if you've got nothing positive to say, what's the point? What's the point? And like he's been a bit short with them, even though Australia aren't great at the moment. And then just the final scene when he says, you want to give yourself up a cat? And I thought he was just going to walk out the room. But he just walks off with a little travel suitcase. It's just the best. See you later, guys. Get on the plane. It's like he's leaving I'm a Celebrity Jungle.
We were laughing our heads off at that, at the travel suitcase thing, because you texted me that, I remember, and I was telling the lads about it and everyone was crying at that. So good. Oh. But he's not stupid, mate.
No, of course
Mark
not.
Smith, the media manager up at Newcastle Falcons, a very bright bloke, and he just said, mate, he's not stupid. Everyone's talking about Eddie Jones now. He's taken all the spotlight off his team.
Can't
get a win.
It is.
He's not stupid.
But if Australia don't perform in the World Cup, which there's a good chance they might not, because it's, you know, they've got Wales, Fiji, England. If they don't get through to a quarter or a semi-final probably, then he's gone, I reckon, because he's put all his hopes on Australia performing, a bit like what Gareth Jenkins did with Wales in 2007. We only beat England in the last game before the World Cup in the Six Nations. That was only because his team talk, he came in a beige suit, took his jacket off, facing the other way, turned back, and a map of Africa was coming down his leg where he hasn't shaken his winky properly before he'd been for honestly, it was just coming down the side of his leg. And that was the only reason we won, because we were all just pissing ourselves, trying to keep a straight face.
He had literally pissed himself.
Yeah. And then...
Oh, great. No, I think Eddie Jones will stay regardless, but...
No.
Yeah,
cool. No, sorry. He won't. Okay. He can't. I don't know. But he's good for the game.
I do giggle at these things. Just see Brad Davis quit hours before they left to fly to France. Brad Davis, the attack coach, quit Australia team. Mate of mine from Bath, coached me for years at Bath, still lives in Bath, great guy. I've never known him coach attack. Doesn't mean he wouldn't be good, but as a defence coach, I thought he was brilliant. He was a brilliant defence coach when he coached us. But I don't know why he's left. Well, I don't know.
We can guess, can't we?
If he texts me back, I wouldn't say, because it would be private, but he hasn't texted me back. Probably because he knows that I talk a lot on these things and he wants to keep things to himself. But I did read that he's in line for the Queensland Reds jobs with Les Kiss from Irish as well. So if he wants it, I really hope he gets that. But, you know, we can probably have a good guess at why he wasn't enjoying himself in that role. But it would be a guess. So to keep going on about it like we know would be a bit silly. But have a good go at it, couldn't we?
We are 20 minutes into this pod and you and I don't want to be here. We don't have to be here. But we're doing it. Can I just talk about the Wales-South Africa game and then you do the Ireland-England and we can go to bed then? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Record defeat by Wales, 52-16, South Africa. Look, with the team South Africa picked and the team Wales picked, there was only going to be one, like Highlander. There was no chance, really, that Wales were going to beat South Africa, unless there was a red card or unless something huge happened to the South African team. Then, I mean, look at the front row. Kitsoff, Marks, Mal Herb. I mean, all of it. RG Snyman.
Got Pumpville.
Absolutely. So Marks, Snyman, Dutoy, Visa, Khaleesi, they were all big carries from them. Every contact they absolutely dominated, and Wales couldn't do that. Wales couldn't get any go forward. I don't think they had a scrum for maybe the first half inside or attacking ball inside South Africa's 22. They tried a couple of things, like Johnny Williams got a little bit of go forward off the lineup, but then second and third phase, they were just slowed down again, and the South African defence was so good, Wales just had to kick. They were unlucky with a couple of things. I thought the Rio Dyer yellow card and penalty try, I don't think it was a penalty try. I think the ball had already passed Kane and Moody before he even tried to grab it, and it was slapped out. It didn't look like it was an intentional slap out. It looked a little bit like Rio Dyer was probably trying to slap the ball out of Moody's hand. It was what it looked like. So I found that a strange decision. And then it's just the soft tries which really hurt Wales. The intercept, I think it might have been Steph Detoy, right down on their 5 metre line in the second half, and then Creel ends up going from the halfway line. Yeah, mate. They are so good.
Can I just
good.
Say, is it was it who was it that was meant to tackle who missed a tackle on Creel? Was it
Tom Rogers?
Rogers. Mm. I think he should have got him.
Yeah, I think he could.
Oh, Jack Nowell, if he's moving that quickly, gets him there. I think he should have got him. Anthony Watson definitely gets in there. He had hands on. He was in contact. He should have got him.
It's a hard attack, and you see that happen a lot, though.
I'd have got him. What I'm saying is I would have got him there.
Yeah, like Epi Tione. But when you get close like that, sometimes you don't expect the defend. And sometimes, like that tackle he's trying to do is sort of jump on his back is easier than to tackle low. So yeah, he's done that, but he's got caught out. Willy Larue, he was, for me, he was immense. And
he's a master, isn't he?
I know Manny Lebok was good at 10, but Willy Larue featured so much in their attack. So you had Lebok one side, you had Willy Larue the other side. But his vision was outstanding at the weekend. His skill set of being able to pick those passes out was just as good. And he was such a threat the whole game. He was rolling back the years. It was honestly, I thought he was one of the best players out there. Did you see the Manny Lebok pass for Willems' try? It was a thing of beauty.
Yeah.
It was a thing of beauty.
Yeah.
It was a 3v4. Like, Wales have four defenders. South Africa had three attackers. There's absolutely no way you should score. But the pass was that good. Rio Dyer just gets caught, ball watching. And for me, I don't think he should have been yellow carded. That was probably his only mistake, really, in that game. Just gets caught watching the ball, and the pass is that good. It takes Willems on the outside and just ghosts in. But Rio Dyer was one of the positives for me. Like, he was very good under the high ball. He was very, he had a very good attitude, and he wanted to carry the ball. He was trying to get stuck in as best as he could. And I'm glad he's going on the tour. I'm glad he's been selected. I thought Sam Costello in certain areas.
Is Josh Adams going, by the way?
Yeah,
I haven't looked up and out all day.
Yeah, he is. He's going. Right. I thought Sam Costello, some valuable bit of game time for him.
Yeah, I like him. He's
I good. Know it was tough, but there was a couple of chances Wales got on the outside of South Africa, and a lot of that was him playing flat and him taking it to the line. There weren't many other positives, to be fair, Dave. Wales were just absolutely out-muscled, and it was a bit of a wake-up call, really, because England was good. The England game was good, the first game they had. But we won't be a top physical tier nation like that, like a South Africa, like a New Zealand, like a France, playing that way. We have to get better on attack. Have to. But
yeah,
it was tough for the boys out there, and you feel for them a little bit, because once you go behind by like 20 points, then that's it. You sort of, it's game over, isn't it? But really, really impressed by South Africa. Like, you look and think, yeah, absolutely you can win another Rugby World Cup, because your set piece is brilliant. And then you've got just X factor behind. Even though you don't maybe play as much as a New Zealand or a France in attack, or Australia, they've got special players out there. Cheslin Kobe, defensively, like, everyone talks about how good he is in attack. Defensively, he is on the button every single time. Like, makes really good reads, makes really good intercepts, doesn't miss tackles, really, and gets himself in a really good position. So he can blitz, but he's also got enough speed and agility to be able to turn and catch a player, because he's pacey enough as well. So, like, I was properly impressed. Not that I haven't been before, but... And then you bring in on, like, Vermeulen, and you bring in on Willemse, Vincent Koch. Like, I'll tell you another one.
And he got Etzebeth in his tracksuit.
Yeah, I know. Hendricks had a good game at nine as well. Like, he was another big positive, yeah. I think, for South Africa. So, anyway, just while we're on Wales, the Wales squad was announced. There wasn't too many surprises.
I've got it now in front of me, yeah.
Big Dave. A couple of the omissions, really. They're taking two scrum halves. So Kieran Hardy's not going. He had a tough day against South Africa, which he did. As a scrum half is going to be tough when your pack isn't going forward. Alex Cuthbert didn't get a chance to play and was meant to be selected on the wing, but had to pull out.
You wonder what he could have done in that game, though.
Yeah, exactly. I thought maybe Sam Parry was in with a shot, but they're taking Ryan Elias, who's fit, and Elliot D, who's good with the darts, for the line-out, and obviously Dowie Lake.
Hopefully Dowie Lake gets fit, because I know there's a couple of ropey line-outs. They weren't all his fault, by the way, but I just like him a lot. I really like him. He's a bull.
I think another one might have been unlucky was Tame Plumtree. It seemed to go okay against England at Twickenham, but not enough game time, really. But I think everyone else is going that needs to go.
Henry Thomas, the former England prop, course.
He's in. Kieran Azarati didn't get the nod, so you've got Henry Thomas, Thomas Francis and Dylan Lewis.
Mate, if you're inexperienced, tight head, and the game you've got to go out and prove yourself is against Kitsoff and Marks, and then you got Oxenchea to come off the bench at some point. I mean, you've got to have the day of your life, mate, to survive that. And they got pumped and the reserves came on and, you know, Henry Thomas, a good scrummager, he's been operating in, you know, won the top 14 in Montpellier, but Oxenchea got stuck in and it was boom time. Like, just different level. And Malcolm Marks is so good.
I know.
He is so explosive, good over the ball, technically good, abrasive, aggressive. He's fantastic, man.
Yeah.
What a player.
Nick Tompkins is going. I think that's probably because he has played a little bit on the wing before. He covers 12 and 13, whilst sort of Max Llewellyn covers 12, Kieran Williams covers 12, Joe Roberts mostly plays 13. So I think being versatile has gone towards Nick Tompkins. Other than that, it's a pretty strong squad. And, mate, you look at the draw. You look at that draw. Like, we'll talk about it again on the ITV pod, but it's a wicked draw, that right-hand side, to get to a final. Like, you look at the left-hand side, oh my days, there are going to be some early exits for some big teams. But we'll crack on with that when we do the ITV pod. Talk to me about England, Ireland. Another red card. Standard England.
Yeah, standard. It's so, I mean, I think they were right at the start of the game, you thought George Ford's trying to pull a few strings here and maybe. But actually what he did was kick everything, pretty much everything. And England have this game where it's a little bit like, I mean, I've said almost this exact thing about Bath a year or so ago. There's this way you can play rugby, which is like, I guess it's like, it's not the Kiwi way, it's not the French way. Say it's the Springboks or it's Saris, less so these days because they're quite expansive, but for a while. And it's, you basically kick and bully the opposition into submission and making mistakes. And then when you get to the far end, you've got a bit of magic to score. Right, so you sort of bully and kick your way into the red zone and then you convert. So the Boks are particularly good at it because they can bully you, because they kick well, and because they have magic and stardust to finish when they get
back
there.
It up,
and a lot of power. England don't have the power. They don't have it. So there was the odd scrum. There was one scrum penalty that went against England, which where I thought they were done over. I think it was a bad call. Genge had a brilliant scrum, I thought, against Tadhg Furlong and got pinged for it, or England got pinged for it. I thought Will Stewart struggled a bit, and it looked more solid when Sinclair came on. I think they're looking to Will Stewart to overtake Carl Sinclair, and I'm very good player, Will Stewart. big man and gets around and carries well, but I'm not quite sure they know who their first choice is at the moment. Probably Sinclair after the weekend, but they don't have that brutal power. But also the kicking isn't great. Like, it just isn't. And Ben Youngs is there to be that guy, to follow the plan and to box kick the crap out of it and put the opposition under pressure and exit their own territory, on kick on their terms and all that stuff. But actually, quite rarely did England kick create real problems for Ireland. There's not a brutal chase where someone's getting smashed to bits as soon as they land. There's not brilliant contest in the air. The kicks are often kind of not that accurate and the chasers can't quite get near them, so they back off and it becomes a passive chase line. It's almost like I see that if you take an England team in what in international terms would be called last minute, you've got 8 games to turn a team into a World Cup winning team. That is difficult. The easiest plan to put in place, the simplest plan to put in place, is basically kick pressure, kick chase, defence, pressure, pressure, pressure. England, and it worked with Leicester, it hasn't worked with England yet, hasn't worked at all. The kicking's not good enough, there's not enough bullying, aggressive force up front, so they can't bully teams in submission, it's just not working and when they get to the opposition red zone, the opposition third of the field, they do not have the composure, the deceit, the choreography, the magic to finish it, so they're not actually scoring any tries. So none of the components that required for that sort of game is working. And by the way, they're leaking a lot of tries. Mm. So it's 20 tries in 4 tests or something, or 5 tests now. So they're leaking tries and not scoring any. So none of those components is present. And World Cup's in about 5 minutes. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, it is. It is slightly worrying right. times. But I always think if it clicks for England, they are a quality team, but it looks like a lot of self-doubt. They don't look a confident team at all. I think as well, there's a massive difference between sort of how positive they play as to how Ireland play. Watch, like, the biggest thing for me about Ireland is they're all good decision makers. So it's not just like your 10 or your 12 or your 15 who is a good decision maker. All the way through that pack, because everyone has to carry now. Everyone has to step up the first receiver and make that decision to either tip it on or put it back behind to a ball player. But Ireland just seem to nail those opportunities. I look at Wales sometimes, and when it's on to play out the back, they don't. They play short. And when they play out the back, it's on to play short. They don't make good, intelligent decisions like Ireland do. And how quickly they realign and get themselves into position, it's so rugby league-esque, which every team is trying to play, but they're just miles, miles better than most other teams. And even if off the set piece it doesn't quite work, 3 or 4 phases down, they're into position again, they're into phase play, and they just know what they're doing. It is really good to watch. You look at that Bundiaki try, it was just a tip on. But being able to see that under pressure as a forward, which you're not used to doing really, most forwards aren't, you know, you're not used to having great vision because, you know, that's not your job. But now Ireland just seem a team full of creators, full of guys that for me would be great at touch. They'd be really good, like, touch rugby players, because they know where the space is. They identify the space and they get the ball there. But no one overruns the pass. No one's out of position. Everybody knows exactly what they're doing. And they're just like Mac Hansen, just a classic example. Another classic example just comes in, like, to the 10 position, crossfield kick. Gary Ringrose catches it. Like, that's your winger, your left winger, just coming in. And looked like it was off the cuff, because Ringrose, it was off phase play. Ringrose are just keeping the width down the right hand side, but just the communication in was brilliant. Bundiaki's pass for Keith Earls, 100th cap, great moment for him, huge moment for him. I've never met him, but all I hear is just amazing things about what a good bloke he is. It was a great try for him as well. Great moment for him, great moment for his family, but really well taken as well. But they're just a team full of creators and very, very intelligent, up there with New Zealand, because they break teams down differently to South Africa. They break teams similar to France, similar to New Zealand. But at the moment, you could probably say they're up there with New Zealand to be favourites for the World Cup. Like I know people have said that after Six Nations, but you're never quite sure how you're going to perform in these warm-up games. But again, just so impressed. Like, really enjoy watching them play. Like, you sell rugby off the back of watching them play.
Interested to see how they deal with South Africa's power.
Yeah.
Interested. Mm. That is, it's like intelligent, high-functioning machine versus unlimited uppercuts.
Yeah.
Like, it is...
Relentless.
Know, there's a steamroller coming.
Yep, yep.
Relentless brutality, yeah. So
and,
that is,
and they did it without Sexton.
I thought South Africa looked... They had high tempo at the weekend. I thought they looked like quite a high tempo team. They weren't just chugging it up. They were moving the ball and they were getting it off the deck quickly. I thought
they
really
were.
Good.
They were, but the damage initially was done with RG Snyman or Marks or Steph De Toit. That's what got them on the front foot. Then they could play. Ireland don't always need that.
Yeah,
Ireland can do it off a static defence because their movement is so good, so superior. Yeah, I watched that in the place called Temple
bands,
Bar.
So, about the various bands. Oh, well done, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, well done, lad.
Oh, go on, what?
Kids climbing all over me.
what bands?
These various bands.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if Billy Vunipola gets 3 weeks, so he'll probably get 6 weeks mandatory, plead guilty, do a tackle school, could get 2 weeks. And miss Fiji and Argentina.
There's a game next week as well, England.
Not a player in great form anyway. Sorry?
England got a game next week as well, which would probably count for, wouldn't it, as a ban?
Yeah, Fiji, yeah. So the Fiji's the last warm-up game. So he's not in great form anyway. And then Farrell, so you lose Farrell for 3 weeks, so you lose him for Fiji, although they're going to try and get the Ireland game included. You could tell by the wording of their comms that they were going to try and, you know, Owen would have been playing, but we've removed him because of all this. So they're going to try and make that count as one of his banned games. So you definitely still take Farrell if he misses one game. Do you still take Vunipola if he misses two? You probably do. It's an interesting one because he's got to the end of the month to make changes, but Ben Earl at 8 is very good. I mean, he's very good everywhere. He's a brilliant player. So I guess I've answered my own question. They still take him.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. At the last World Cup, we had a couple of ideas when I was out there with ITV about little features we could do with some players that aren't just another interview in a windowless room or on a balcony with a polo shirt, England polo shirt on. It's like, could we do this? Could we take... I hope I'm not speaking out of school here, but I'll do it anyway. Could we take Elliot Daly and Jamie George for coffees in town? Could we take Genji and Sinclair for sushi in town and just have a chat, film it, and be a bit of fun, get to know the lads a bit? No. We got access all the time, but we got 10 minutes here, 12 minutes there, 15 minutes here, 8 minutes there. Press officer standing behind the camera, which is absolutely fine, you know. But we were the sole broadcaster and we just got nothing, mate. Like, absolutely nothing. We had a few. In the end, we had a couple of ideas. It was like, what is the point? What's the point? And a legendary producer with us who's been there and done it and seen everything. And he's just like, mate, I'll put it to them, but it will be a no. And it was a no. It's like, what is the point? And I guess I've got to be careful here because I work for ITV and I'm very chuffed to work for ITV. This isn't about ITV. ITV would love to do loads more stuff, but there was. I often thought to myself, they must be scared of Eddie. Is Eddie a scary boss? And they're scared just in case something goes wrong. And then once we got told that other players said no, and I was like, I don't believe that. I don't believe they would say no to that. But then it's just no. And I think to myself, you got Owen Farrell. and we were chatting with all the lads the other day at the Lionesses party about this stuff. You got, say, Owen Farrell. So we sort of, in inverted commas, know him because we're rugby people. We've been at events he's at. You've seen him on touchlines. You kind of get to know someone. He's down here in Devon a bit, and I see him every now and again, just walk past him when he's on the beach or whatever, like once every 5 years. You get to know them a bit. We know, not that it matters, this is not the point, it's just, you shouldn't get away with anything because you're a nice bloke. We know that he's a really nice bloke. He's really nice. He's quiet, but he's really nice. And all of his teammates love him. And the Lions, they all love him. Mm. They're desperate for him to be in the team.
Yep.
They love him. The coaches love him, right? He's everyone's, like, ultimate guy. But because you never get to know these people, he does this, he makes this high tackle again and gets away with it. And there is absolute uproar from, yes, around the world, but also from English fans. English fans have gone mad because he's not their friend. These players, I don't think, are the fans' friends. They don't know them. Like, how much, some of the content is great that the lads create during tournaments and stuff. The crew there do some brilliant stuff. I want to know these guys. And it's almost like you hear Mamo Itoje spoke out a while ago. I did an interview and said, you know, rugby's not packaged well enough. And people often say we need superstars. And you look at the American sports. And it's like, honestly, the impression I get is if I said, right, I'm going to do a thing for ITV and I want to go and let's do it, have sushi, coffee and a workout with Mamo Itoje, the answer would be no. If I was a paying brand, if I'm Nike or whoever, or, you know, then I'm sure it could be, we come to an arrangement. But if it's just, the answers are no with England. So I sort of think, my question is, would Owen be copping this much grief if the greater public, I know he's shy, but if the greater public knew what a nice bloke he was. This is not me saying he should get away with it or defending it.
It happens all the time.
Would they turn against him so readily?
Well, it happens all the time. There's a likability factor in a lot of stuff. And if you're quiet and if you're not active on social media, because he's not, you know, you look at some of the other players that are, like, I don't know, Liam Williams is quite active on social media. Joe Marler. And you get a bit more of an insight into those types of characters and players.
Yeah.
When you're not, when you're not on Instagram, you're not on Twitter, you're not making videos, then you're right. People, you know, look at the tackles, probably look at the interviews after where you're not seeing much personality, you're not seeing sort of the true person behind the voice because you're trying to play it straight back to the media. Then that is a factor, and it does come into people's perception of you and people's attitude towards you. And it forges opinions probably a lot stronger than normal. So, yeah, I mean, I've only met him once or twice, just said hello, that's it. But I think he's brilliant as a player. I've always said this. And you're right with the boys.
You
and,
have,
and
yeah.
The Lions.
It's not just about Owen Farrell either. I know. If you think how people have taken against the England team, and they've been really poor. Like, let's not pretend they've been anything other than really disappointing when they've played, right? They take against them so readily. And I remember when Stuart Lancaster, I know it didn't end up going well in the end at the World Cup, but when he took over that team, mate, 6 months or a year into Stuart Lancaster being the boss of that team, I was watching England on telly and I was genuinely out of my chair cheering for them. I've never done that in rugby before. I just sit quietly. I really, really wanted the boys to win. Just like all the South African lads we played with and the Kiwis, desperate for their mates to win and the French lads.
Yeah, they
love
it. They love it, don't they?
I've never been like that, mate. I've always been like, whatever. Mm. Whatever. Or, yeah, didn't pick me. But, you know, a bit of fun, but not really, not bothered, but not that emotional about it. Stuart Lancaster made me a proper England fan again.
Yeah.
What he did. And you could say it went to, but he properly got them engaging with us and, I don't see that at the moment. I don't see it.
Because we do this podcast and because
I don't think we know him.
You do a lot on TV and you're quite funny. When you do slip up, and you will, it's inevitable that will happen one day on air, that, you know, people support you a lot more and you might not get fired. You might just get a warning. So
depends what I say, doesn't it?
Anything, mate, I think you'd be fine.
Depends what I say. Anyway, you think about the Ashes and you think, I know there are people questioning the the game, you know, the game plan, all that stuff. But I just think people were so behind them. I sort of think,
yeah,
they don't know him. I think people don't know him. They don't know him. You know. Anyway.
Anyway, right.
That's all.
That's all from us, isn't it? What
you're
are you going to do now,
boy? Aren't
yeah.
You?
You're so tired.
I am.
I'm going to bed.
What time is it?
I'm going to read my book.
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock, mate.
Yeah.
Oh,
time
God.
For bed. Time for bed. Right.
I was going to say was when you got me onto the Ben Earl thing, just quickly.
Yeah.
The people I envy are the people who like attack every day, like Tom May, who's one of I know some whoever hasn't no people who listen they won't know him, will they? They know who he is, but they won't have met him. He's just the best guy. Like, but one thing I envy about him. And I hope it's real, is that he attacks every week and he attacks every day. I don't. I like fold into every day and I'm like, oh my God, it's another day. Then I think to myself, do I need to start the day with like a bulletproof coffee, a 10K walk, a Pilates session and some meditation or something? Like, but sleep is a big thing. I need to start going to bed earlier. But no. I envy these people that...
You make your bed. Remember we had Foxy
prioritise
on?
Prioritise their own well-being.
You make your bed, don't you? Because remember we had Foxy on the podcast? You were showing off to him. Yeah, I do that all the time, mate. I make my bed, right? And I start the day off on a positive. I was flying at Lisco. Bullshit. Bullshit, man, I was.
I do. I know.
Oh, crawl out, mate. Crawl out.
All right, Studsy. Keep going.
Anyway, just for me, the celebrations are a little bit too much. Celebrate a little bit, but drop into your knees for a non-straight.
Yeah, if you're playing against him, you're thinking, what are you doing there, fella?
I see him at Cheltenham once a year.
What are you doing there, fella boy? Yeah, he's great, and he's a brilliant player. But I remember having a big scrum against Sale when I was 18. I was 18, and I was like, right, I'm pumped to frig. And they had the guy, I think his name was Darby Taron, big South African guy. And I was like, right, I was bricking it, to be honest. And I got engaged in this scrum. They put the ball, and I just gave it everything, and I actually shunted him backwards. And I was like, ah, yeah, you know, I was really pumped. And we'll end on a swear word, but Alex Arnason said, fucking hell, one good scrum, and he thinks it's his fucking birthday. I'll never forget that. So that shut me up, mate. I tell you. He was laughing.
I saw a little...
Yeah, that shut me up.
I saw a little photo on Twitter. It's not called Twitter anymore, is it? Whatever it's called. X.
X.
And it was Ben Earl celebrating a non-straight line-out from Ireland on his knees, hands in the air. And it was Gareth Edwards scoring the greatest try rugby's ever seen. Just running back.
Jogging back, yeah. Like Brad Thorne. Yeah, the boss. The game's changed, though, fella. You know.
I know.
We need to be watchable, mate. Yeah, they're entertainers, these boys.
Watch Quarterback, mate, on Netflix. It's really good. Patrick Mahone. Oh, my days.
Oh, apparently Johnny Football.
It's really good.
Rusty told me that, Russell Earnshaw told me that Johnny Football is brilliant as well. Apparently
unbelievable.
It's excellent. So we'll watch both of those this week.
Yeah, do it.
All right.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for that hour.
Well done, guys.
We're not going to do it next week because I'm away. So
cool.
That is going to be us until Six Nations pod's out, okay? Just follow us.
I might do one on my own, a monologue. Actually, what am I doing? I can't record a podcast. Wouldn't know how. All right, lad. Well done, mate.
Leave us a review. Okay, everybody. Goodbye.
Have a great holiday.
Thank you.
Yeah, great. Review. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.